Richie Neal, you know, you were mayor of Springfield. You're conversant with the kinds of problems that cities have and inner cities have. And you are a guy who had to make up his mind as mayor and now as congressman, what you want to help and do. So let me start with one thing on Springfield, and that's the MGM Springfield Casino Project. You know, there are many people who think the last thing that people need is gambling. What do you think?
Well, I've been pretty agnostic on the whole gambling issue over the course of an entire career now. I don't think that we gamble our way to prosperity. And at the same time, I think that one must understand that in Rhode Island and Connecticut and places like that, many of these casinos have now become outlets or destinations. And the result is that in the parking lot of many of these casinos, there are large numbers of Massachusetts license plates. Now, I would note that the Boston Globe highlighted just a few days ago that the revenue that was projected at a couple of these sites has not met what the expectation was. And I think at some point there is a saturation level that settles in. And at the same time, I think that the city and the mayor, they get some credit for having vetted this process, kept it in full public view, came through it without any question of integrity, and the public voted for it. So I wish not to second-guess them in this instance and at the same time point out that I think that local economies in old industrial cities, they really need an integrated approach to economic growth. And that means where you can nurture manufacturing, where you can highlight the service sector, but not to miss the point that the New England Council also estimates simultaneously with Deloitte that there are 16,000 precision manufacturing jobs that go wanting right now in New England. So I hope that the decision on the Chinese rail company that's coming to Springfield will inure to the city's benefit, which I anticipate that it will. They're talking about 200 to 300 manufacturing jobs in the high-skilled industry that will take place. And you have the casino, I think, that will be a revenue producer. The number of dollars produced, I guess, is probably still a bit uncertain. So there are some good things happening, and not the least of which is a project that I've worked on for more than 30 years that will be completed a year from now. And that's Union Station, where they are currently now putting the windows in. And for those of us who have this great nostalgia about Union Station, North-South Rail is about to be improved, and I have pushed very hard for East-West Rail as well.
What about the Army Reserve Center and the city and the police?
Well, one of the things that you always have to do is to be mindful of the fact that there is a lot of excess property that the federal government, from time to time, would like to free themselves from. And the BRAC Commission, in this instance here, they were able to negotiate with the city of Springfield, some of it at my request, to get to the city what was a site for the reserves that had really gone on inactive use. So the property, because the federal government constructed it, is well done. It has great proximity to Westover. And at the same time, looking for a pattern of reuse has been a bit of a challenge. So the city is now going to use it for police training, which I think is a very good reuse of that property. And I must tell you that actually I think that it was very innovative the way the city will go in now, and they will have a property that they will have to do some rehabilitation to, but also not to miss the point that will be considerably less in terms of cost than construction of a new site would have been.
Many people consider you the best mayor Springfield ever had. You have real expertise. You're very bright. Do the other guys come to see you and say, Richie, what should we be doing here?
Well, I try, because it's a very small alumni association called Former Mayors. I try when I can to be helpful to mayors that will ask questions of me. I think that it serves me well in Congress, having previously held a job where you really had to decide, and you did not have the esoteric opportunities that frequent legislative life, where you can make arguments based on anticipation or what you believe will happen, as opposed to the mayor's office, where you really have to act and react based on what is going to happen. So I think that that's why there are very few former mayors or governors that serve in the Congress or the Senate of the United States, because that decision-making process over those periods of years, it frequently means that you're going to have a truncated career. And I have recently, I know that Mayor Morse of Holyoke picks my brain from time to time, Mayor Sarno, We've developed a very strong friendship. Mayor Koss has asked me a series of times questions as to how I might handle something. And I think that now I can offer the long view, but I'm always appreciative of the difficulty of the job that a mayor has across New England today. In Massachusetts, I frequently point out there are two economies. There's the Boston economy, and there's the rest of the economy in the state of Massachusetts. They have critical mass. It's very different than the rest of the state. Sure. They also are home to MIT and Harvard, and not to miss the point that there are many, many great universities where we have great universities, but they're much smaller in scale. So I think that there are a lot of things that Boston has going for it. It's our capital region. I want it to do well, but not to miss the point that there is, across the rest of the state, still many economies that struggle.
Let me switch subjects with you for a moment. I know that you're a college teacher. You've taught college for a long time. What is the level of your hope based on the kids that you're teaching?
Well, I will tell you this, that one of the advantages I think that the University of Massachusetts has had over the last 15 years is that as college costs at the private universities and colleges have gone through the roof, the students at UMass, you can see those SAT scores have also gone through the roof. And what it means is that many parents cannot afford $55,000 to $60,000 a year at George Washington University or at Boston College. So many of those students who find themselves in the caliber of those who would have been successfully admitted to private colleges now see the genius of going to the University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And not only have those SAT scores gone up, but the building on the campus is the new buildings on campus are spectacular. The university is acclaimed as a research center, and there are many great things that happen there. And I will say, based on my own experience, the students were always good, and they just keep getting better and better.
And when they're better, are they more attuned to our political issues?
They are more attuned, and one of the things that is also important, and every chance I've ever had to have a speaking engagement at a college in Massachusetts, particularly a community college, a state college, or at the University of Massachusetts, I've always taken advantage of it because overwhelmingly they're going to stay in the state after graduation. Many of the college students at our private universities and colleges, they go back to other destinations. And I think that as the student body continues to improve, I also would say that that also contributes much to the new political class that is coming along in Massachusetts. And the students I have are really terrific.
Okay, got a minute and 20 seconds. I want to ask you this. I went to Hunter College. It was free. We educate our kids on all kinds of levels, primary, elementary, you know, secondary. Why shouldn't college be free also?
Well, I don't object to the notion of the college being free. And I think in Massachusetts, we integrate that process fairly well in the sense that our community colleges are still reasonably priced. Our universities are reasonably priced. And UMass has gotten a bit pricier, largely because the student is now asked to pay a greater part of the burden. Now, at the same time, I'm just going to add one qualifier here. And I've educated four children and I commuted to college myself. But I also think there ought to be some skin in the game. And I do think that free oftentimes implies that you can do what you want. And I think that disciplining people about the realities of economic life at an early stage is a good idea. I mean, to be candid, smart people have a very healthy respect for money.
Richie Neal, always wonderful to have you on. I can't say that I disagree with you, but I got to tell you, I saw an awful lot of people go to college when I was at Hunter many years ago who would not have been there if they had to pay $500.
Exactly.
Richie Neal, always great to see you. When we come back the next time, let's talk about opioids.